Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, and welcome to the Christian Writer's World. I'm your host, pastor and fellow author, Janet Fears. Today, we're going to talk about dreams. I said I was going to do a little interview, and the first author I'm going to interview is myself. So I want to tell you a little bit about myself and my dreams. What's my dream? Well, I've always dreamed of being a writer and having people read my work and enjoy it. Today, my dream is coming true, but later in life than I expected. I always dreamed of being a young writer, traveling across the USA, promoting my book. But sometimes life throws curves at us in a way that I never expected. I developed cancer. I became a diabetic, had high blood pressure. And then my mother died, and I had to take care of my disabled sister. And that kind of cut off my dreams a little bit. I kind of put them on hold, and I had to work a little harder than I wanted to make ends meet. But luckily I had a loving, caring family that helped me financially. And so I did, you know, make it. But my dream was on hold for quite a while. Now, don't get me wrong. I would never have changed anything because God showed me his power through all I went through and taught me that dreams never die if we keep believing in him and ourselves. Growing older doesn't kill your dreams. It's we that kill our dreams when we give up. I've learned to never give up. It's not an option for me, and I hope it won't be an option for you. Now, when you have a dream, as I did, to be a writer, I do believe that dreams are instilled in us by God. Dreams make us work. The world is built by people who had dreams and worked to see them come true. Dreams keep us going. They make us want to survive. God had a dream. He wanted a world with people who would love and worship him. His dream brought into existence the universe that we see now. But society had fallen far short of God's dream, but he didn't stop dreaming. He had another dream of how to put the universe back into its original plan for mankind. That dream was Jesus. God has never stopped dreaming, and neither should we, until our dreams come true. Without dreams, there would be nothing to hope for. So whatever your dream is, however far out of reach it may seem, never give up. You and God can make it happen. Never let others stomp on your dreams and make you feel it's impossible to be reached. Keep dreaming and working towards your dream. That's what God wants you to do. Then trust him to do the rest. He's more than able. Now, when you have a dream, as I had to be a writer, sometime you enter what I call the Valley of Dreams. I like to give names to things. I call this valley, it's full of dreams that people have left behind because they did not believe their dream would come true. Like if you have a dream to be a writer, or if you want to be a dancer, or say you want to be a concert pianist. And sometimes, you know, your dreams, other people look at it and they don't see that that's a dream for you. And they think it's an impossibility. But don't give up on that. It's a beautiful place, the Valley of Dreams. It's full of love, hope, and joy, and the soil has not been fully cultivated. Many people have passed through it, but have seen the hard work that must go into nurturing and cultivating their dream, and have released their dream and moved on. The valley is waiting. It has so many dreams. Maybe even your writer's dreams is there too. All you have to do is search through the pile of discarded dreams, find yours, and cultivate the soil with love and hard work. Oh, yes, writing is hard work. Any job that you want to do that is passionate for you always is hard work. But the dream still doesn't die, only the dreamer, when they give up. So never give up. Now, in this valley of dreams, you are going to run across what I call them dream stealers. I like to give names, like I said. In the Valley of Dreams, you will meet up with the first little guy I call discouragement. He's a fellow who has made his home in the valley, afraid to attempt to climb out. So he will tell you that it's easy to stay in the valley, but it's hard to try to get out of it. He will show you that where you are is so secure and safe. Maybe in a job that you like, but in your heart you want to be doing something else, and you stay there because it's secure and you're comfortable. So he'll tell you to never leave the comfort of where you are. It could be dangerous, and you could lose all you have acquired. And that's what a lot of people do when they have a dream. You know, the family members may not understand, and maybe the person wants to leave their position and go try something else that's passionate in his heart, and they'll say, you can't do that. You know, if you do this, we're going to lose everything. So you had to be really focused to stay with your dream. Okay, and then he wants to put fear into you so you will rethink this venture that you're seeking after. Everyone meets up with this fellow on the road to their dreams. He will constantly be attempting to keep you in the valley with him and the others that he has stopped on their journey to their dream, to Dream Mountain. Discouragement is another guy you may meet. He can be jealous, and he will show himself through other people who will see you trying to reach for heights that they think are impossible or that they think that they should be reaching. So then we meet up with envy. These are the people that think the heights you reach should belong to them and not you, because they feel they are more deserving. And so they will try to discourage you. And then there's strife. Oh, he's a good one. These are the people who want to distract you, get you to keep your eye off course to reaching your dream. The Valley of Dreams with Dream Stealers is the home of these Dream Stealers, and you must be on guard at all times. You must remember that you have a faithful companion called Faith. He will safely guide you to the mountaintop of dreams if you will only stay focused on him and believe in yourself. So never let go of your dreams. So that was my dream, to be an author, and I never let go of that dream. And God bless me. I now have 4 books that are out in print, and I'm getting ready to do my next novel. And so now I can see that my dream, even though it was delayed, it still came to pass. A lot of times we want things quickly, and that's not the way all the time God works. And even in life in general, you have to work. If you want a degree, you've got to work. You've got to go to school. You've got to do what it takes to fulfill that dream. But some people, they want to stop and relax, and they just want to stay where they are. You know, they have dreams, and they're in jobs that they really, they're doing good at it, but it's not something that they're passionate about, that they really don't like. And all the time, there's a little nagging voice in the back saying, this is what you really want to do. You really want to paint. You really want to, you know, go out. You want to be a lawyer. You want to be a doctor. But that's going to take too long. You've got a family. You've got children. And so it seems like it's impossible, but nothing is impossible with God. And so that was my dream, was to be a writer. And so that's what I am now. And I, like I say, I have 4 books out. I'm working on my next novel, which is called Sarah, A Biblical Christian Love Story. And so that's a little bit about me. Okay, I'll tell you a little bit about my family. I'm interviewing myself now, so remember, I have 2 sisters, and I have a husband, and I have nieces and nephews, some in Atlanta with my one sister, and some in California, and then I have other, you know, in-laws in Madison, Illinois. Okay, my interests are, I love to write. I also write poetry, and so I do a lot of poetry books. I have 2 poetry books, and I'm working on another one, but right now I'm finishing my novel. Okay, and also, how I read also affects what I write. Now, I like to read romance, and I remember when I was younger, I wanted to read books, and sometimes my mother would look at the book, and she'd say, no, no, this is not a good book for you, you know. And so sometimes, you know, being a young teenager, you go to the library and you pick up some of the books that your mother would never let you read. And you sit down and you read them and you think, oh, my. And so I wanted to write books from the time I was like 8 years old. And that's when my writing really started. I was 8 years old, and I used to go outside and play, and my mother would see me. I'd come in, and I'd go in the room, and I'd take a pencil and a paper, and I'd sit down, and I would write. And she'd come back in to me and say, go back outside and play, because I'm trying to clean up. I'm doing this. You know, you'd go outside and play. And I'd go out and play, and then I'd be out playing, and little thoughts would come in my mind for stories that I wanted to write. And so I'd sneak in, and I'd come in and go lay in the bed and write, and my mother would send me out again. Well, after about the 3rd time, I think she got the message, and she said, okay, what are you writing? And I said, just little stories. I said, the little stories come in my mind, because my grandmother used to tell me stories, and she was a great storyteller. And when I was young, I used to think, boy, I would like to put some of those stories down or write some of my own. And so I started writing. So I wrote my first little story, which I have someplace here packed away, when I was like 8 years old, and I just kept writing from then. But like I said, you know, things came in, and my dreams were pushed back, but then finally I just decided to put them on paper and put them on the computer and then try to get a publisher. Okay, so I like to read romantic books, and my mother would, you know, like I said, would always come in and see what I was reading and tell me certain things weren't right for me, you know, teenagers to read. And so I thought to myself, why can't someone write a book that is totally pure, clean, and sweet, that you can lay out, that a preteen could read it or an adult could read it? And that's what I decided to do. So that's why I'm a Christian romance writer. Okay, and that's why I'm called the Simply Pure, Sweet, Uncomplicated Christian Romance Writer. My stories have great storylines, great characters, but always pure, sweet, and clean. There's never any sex scenes, and my books will always show the hand of God working in the lives of a character. So that's another thing. When you have a dream, you don't let the world compromise your dream. Because I have a hard time finding publishers that want books that are pure, simply pure, sweet, and uncomplicated, and doesn't have a mixed-up storyline, doesn't have people, you know, mingling with, you know, with other people, you know, getting in, you know, the sex and the lust and the scenes. Now, there are different Christian writers. You know, some go into, you know, with the sex scenes and stuff like that. That's not me. That's not me. Because I wanted to write books that if my Lord and Savior came in front of me, I wouldn't be ashamed. I wouldn't have to hide it or put it underneath me and hope he didn't see it, because he'd already know anyway. But I wanted to write things that kids could read as well as adults could read, and that's why I write the type of books I do, and that's why I'm called a Simply Pure, Sweet, Uncomplicated Christian Romance Writer. Now, you might want to know how I choose my characters. Well, I've decided to use characters from the Bible. So I take biblical names. Now, I have one book named Leah, which is a modern-day love story of Leah and Jacob. And then the one I'm working on now is called Sarah, the modern-day love story of Sarah and Abraham. But I always use biblical verses, quotes from the Bible, and the Lord inspires me with what to write. The storyline, my storyline was totally inspired of the Lord. Everything I wrote was what, you know, I felt that the Lord would show me. If I was reading in Scripture, certain things would pop out, certain verses, and I knew what to start the story with. I knew how to get into it, and everything, all my characters are biblically based, but it's a great storyline that, you know, everyone can enjoy. Okay, if, you know, sometimes you wonder if a writer could meet any other writer, who would they want to meet? Now, as a Christian romance writer, that's very hard for me to say. I really cannot say that there's one person that I would like to meet. But there is one author that I used to read her books a long time ago, and I did like them, and that was Danielle Steele. You know, she never had a lot. She had sex in them, but there was not a lot of explicit. You know, nowadays in the world today, we don't need explicit. Everything's out there. So, you know, if they're not showing you or telling you anything that you already don't know. I want to read a nice love story, you know, that I can sit down and think about and, you know, where it leaves me in my own mind to know what happened behind that closed door. You don't have to tell me. You know, I want to read something nice and sweet and clean. Okay, now you might want to know, what do I wish I knew about writing that I know now? I wish I knew that it was such a job, because writing is a job. People think you just sit down and write. No, no, no. You have to learn the techniques of writing. I went to a writing school for 2 years and came out with a average. I went to the Inner I School of Writing out of Washington, D.C., I had to get it right. And I came out, and they said I'd be a very good romance writer, fiction writer. But I learned that it was a hard thing to do. You have to learn about punctuation and grammar and how to put the sentences together. And, you know, when I was younger, I just sat down and wrote. And then I found out the techniques of writing. So writing is a job. If you're going to be a writer, you might as well realize that you need to know English. Because the publishers and the editors, they'd look for that. And if you don't have it right, you know, they'll send it back to you and tell you that, you know, with a rejection letter saying, no, 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 this is not, you know, what, I don't understand your book, I don't know what you're saying, you know, these sentences are not right. And that's very hurtful when somebody tells you, after all your hard work, that it's not right, you know. And so another thing I learned, too, the most important thing I learned in my writing school, which I will share with you, is if what you're writing doesn't move you, it won't move anybody else. In other words, if you don't like what you're writing, after you finish it and put it aside for a while, if you can't come back and read it and get a really good feeling about it, then nobody else is going to like it either. And so always make sure that what you write is from your heart. And that's one thing I learned very much from my writer's instructors. And so now, another question you might want to know, the book I'm working on now is Sarah. Like I said, it's a biblical Christian love story, and I'm just about at the end. I'm on chapter 12, and it's got a really good storyline. I use a lot of scriptures because that's what I do. And I write from my heart, and I write from what God tells me to do, and I pick the background, you know, and the settings and the plot. It all comes from the Lord. There's no way I can explain it, because I'm not a writer that can sit down and make an outline. Some writers, which is nothing wrong with it, they sit down, they outline exactly what their story is going to be, and the plot, and you know, and the synopsis of it, what, you know, so people can just get a quick glance at what it is, and then they sit down and write the chapter, what the first chapter is going to be, the second chapter. I'm not like that. I can't explain it. I'm just not like that. I sit down, and the Lord gives it to me. Or else I sit down on the bed, and I'll take a tablet, and I'll just start writing. But then by the time I write what I have and get to the computer, the Lord changes it. And then when I go back and read it, I say, this is much better than what I had. But that's just the way I write. Now, everybody writes differently, and there's nothing wrong. You know, if you have a system to what you write, then that's the way you should go on and carry it. Okay, and as for my other books that I've published, I can name them for you. I have Seasons of Love, which is a book about the different stages of love, you know, from early love to mature love to old love, and how things happen on the roller coaster of love that can change your feelings, you know, about love as you grow older. Young love is totally seen differently from an older person's view, because young love, you know, it's so different. As you get older, you realize what true love really is. It's caring about somebody, you know, and spending time with them and, you know, nurturing them through times of trouble and distress and everything. Where young love, and basically in the beginning, is emotions. And so that's what my book is called, Seasons of Love. It's like there are different seasons, winter, summer, spring, and fall. Love has seasons, too. It goes from old, mature, and it just goes on. And then I have another book called Amour, which is all about love, how people think about love, people I've talked to, and that I wrote poems, you know, and shared their thoughts all about love. And then my first book novel that I ever wrote was called The Master Plan. And that was a book that I started writing when I had breast cancer. And I didn't finish it until after I finished my 38 treatments, radiation treatments, and then the Lord inspired me to go back to it. And so I had to pick it up and start again writing, and the Lord brought me back to the same voice and tone of the story as when I stopped it. Because it is a voice and a tone, you know, when you're writing something. If you leave it away too long, sometimes you lose that tone and you don't know exactly how to pick it up again. But the Lord blessed me to be able to pick it up again. And so The Master Plan was written after my bout with breast cancer. And it's a really good story about a lady, Kim Masters, and her husband had a twin. It was Adam and Andrew Masters. Her husband was Adam. And they were twins, but she didn't know they were twins. And her husband died. And then later on, years later, his twin came to town. And he had a son that looked just like her son. And how God weaved their lives together, he had a master plan. That's what that's called, the master plan. It's a story of faith, hope, forgiveness, and love. And then Leah, my next novel, which is out, that's about a girl who was jilted on her wedding day by her guy she was going to marry, and he married her best friend, Rebecca. Well, that's like biblical, you know, Isaac and Rebecca. And so how she dealt with that and how she met a guy that she had, knew from grade school, and how the Lord weaved their relationship together, and how God brought that, and she learned how to forgive, too, and how to, you know, build her life again, and how to let God lead her to the right man. And so that's Leah. And then my poetry books I just told you about. Okay, and I went with the publisher. I went with at the time it was called Publish America. Now it's called America Star Books. And I went with them because I was looking for a place. You know, when you're a young writer and you don't have a lot of money, you know, to get published can really cost you a lot. And so this was the one I prayed about, and I was led in the search, and I came across Publish America at that time. And they published they published all four of my books. And I give them credit for that because they'd give me and it gave me a great chance to be published and to see my work in print as a new author. And that's very hard for new authors. It's hard to get someone, you know, that wants to take a chance on you, because most of the time they take a chance on established authors because they know their work. So I was very grateful to them for publishing all my work, and they did a good job. And now that's what I'm working on now. I'm not finished with that one yet. And so Publishing America was the one that helped me. And now, if you have any questions, you know, if you want to call in, you know, something about what I've said, please do. The guest call-in number is 323-642-1589. I'd be glad to talk to you about dreams and about anything with Christian writers. Okay, now, as you might want to know that it's good as a writer to, you know, link yourself to social sites like Twitter, Facebook, you know, LinkedIn, and get associated with other writers, because that builds your network and you begin to see how other people are dealing, you know, with the same type of struggles that you are. You know, and so that's good to be able to meet and talk. And so I'd say social networks are very good, and they have helped me. I'm on Twitter, I'm on LinkedIn, and I'm on Facebook, and, you know, Pinhurst. You know, so get yourself into a social network. That'll really help you to build your dream. Even if your book isn't published, you get a chance to talk with other authors, and you can, you know, tell the experiences that you have and hear, you know, they share what they've gone through, you know, and, you know, because it's very hard being an author. And not just being an author, it's very hard when you have a dream to get that dream fulfilled. And that's what I'm really talking about, what my dream was, you know, to get that dream fulfilled. You got to really stay focused. You got to stay on the road, you know, matter, you know, because things will try to push you off to the side, but you got to stay on the road and not let go. You've got to, you know, see that dream so full in your mind that nothing's going to stop you. Yeah, you may be delayed, and you know, you may reach a dead end or a stop sign, you know, but you just keep, you turn around and you go back to where you can start, and then you just keep going. You never give up on your dream, you know. So that's what, you know, that was my main thing today, was talking about that. And if I could say anything to an aspiring writer today, I think the main thing I would like to tell you is to believe in yourself. Because if you don't believe in you, nobody else will. And that's true with anything you do in life. If it's something you love, you know, even if the odds are against you, but if you don't believe that you can do it, and if you don't believe in yourself, then, you know, nobody else is going to do it. That's one thing they told me in writing school. You know, my writing, because I went to writing school, is very hard. And a lot of times my papers would come back and they say, one teacher would say, oh, this is just terrible. You'll never write. And then, you know, I'd get disgusted and want to stop. And then, you know, I'm thinking, you know, I put money in to go to the school. You know, I'm just going to have to try to figure it out and try to do it. You know, and I pray. And then I'd redo this assignment. And then the next teacher would send it back and say, did an excellent job. You corrected everything. So, you know, you can't let, you know, like I said, those dream stealers are always going to be there. And sometimes they'll even work through your friends, you know, or family, you know, because, you know, they don't understand. Everybody has a different dream. And even though, you know, you're not a part of that dream, you want to be the person that can at least stand at the bottom of the mountain and say, keep climbing. Keep climbing. Don't stop. You know, I'm here cheering you on. You know, and that's what we need. Writers need support, and I say especially Christian writers, because the world today is not really geared for Christian books. It's geared for what's going on in the world today, and the world today is speaking their voice, like I said before, and we've got to speak ours, and our books are to bring praise and honor and glory to the Lord Jesus Christ, and so that's what I'm trying to do. So Christian writers, they're not ranked as high as the other writers in the world today are, but it's growing, you know, because God, you know, God's going to prosper, you know, he said he'll prosper, whatever you do, he'll prosper, as long as you have him in it. And so Christian writers need to hang in there and keep doing and working for the Lord and speaking through the books the way he wants them to speak. But now for me, my books are totally pure, clean, sweet, and uncomplicated. Anybody can read my book. In fact, I had a friend call me and tell me that her granddaughter took it, and she never had to worry about her reading it because she knew it was okay. You know, and that's what I want. You know, I don't want to have to run, you know, and have somebody, you know, pull it away from me and say, are you reading that book? How can you read that book? You're supposed to be a pastor, or you're supposed to be a Christian, you're reading something like that? No, I don't want that. I want, you know, they can pull it out of my hand and look at it and say, oh. Now, if they're more into the world, they may not like what they read, but all they can say is, oh, as one friend said to me, oh, that's cute, that's sweet. That's fine, that's what I want. I want it to be pure, clean, and sweet so that teenagers can read it and they can take it to school and they can lay it around. Somebody else could pick it up and read it. But it will be the storyline and God that would attract them to it. God will pull them there. And Christian writers, God gives them great storylines. Storylines that are captivating, interesting, and that will hold their attention without dealing with the problems that's in the world today. And young people really need that. So I'm geared really toward young people and young adults reading my books. And so that's my dream. My dream is to have my books in every home in the United States, if possible. But I leave that to the Lord. My job is to keep trudging forward and trust God to do the rest. But that is my dream. I want my books into the homes where people can have their kids read them and nothing that they ever have to worry about. They never have to, you know, pull it away from them or look to see, you know, what words, you know, there might be underlining, because I have scriptures in mind so that anyone can always go back and read and see that the scripture is based, you know, in the story on the Bible. And that's what I want to do. So that's my dream. Now, I would like to know, what's your dream? Maybe you can call in and tell me what's your dream, you know, because everybody has a dream. Whether you're a writer or whatever, everybody has a dream. And I remember watching Pretty Woman one time, and I love that story. And right at the end, they show this guy stand on the street corner, and cars are passing, and he's yelling, "What's your dream?" He said, "Everybody has a dream. What's your dream?" So that's what I'd like to say to you. What's your dream? I'd like to hear from you, but if you don't call in, just remember, whatever your dream is, don't let it go. Always hold on to your dream. The dream never dies. It's only the dreamer. I read a poem like that one time, and that is so true. The dream never dies. We just have to keep holding on and keep believing, because our time is not God's time, and we are in an instant society, and we want things fast. We want it quick. We want our food fast. We want our cars fast, and quite honestly, we want our men and women fast, too. So, you know, we have to learn to slow down, because God, you know, time is nothing to him. It's just us. You know, one day like a thousand years like one day. So we have to learn to slow down and realize that time takes over at a certain point. Because I remember when I was younger, I wanted to grow up so bad. I could hardly wait to grow up because people were telling me what to do, and I wanted to do what I wanted to do. And then after I grew up, now I look back and I say, I should have done things. So, you know, just relax and enjoy being a young person. But I wanted to grow up so much because, you know, a man has a thing about wanting to rush into things and do his own thing and be on his own and live his own life, you know, but still we got to answer to somebody. Somewhere down the line, you got to answer to a boss or somebody, but you got to answer to somebody. And so we need to learn that in our writing, too. You have to answer to yourself and God in your writing, especially Christian writers. We are held to, I believe, a higher standard, because we're trying to portray the love of God through our books and lead people to him through our writing. So that's very important that we have a standard that we live up to, not as the world sees it, but as we see it, because, you know, we're writing to further the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's what my writing is. I always have scripture and everything in my books. So, you know, I just want to encourage you, if you have a dream, don't let go. Don't let go of that dream. If it's a writer's dream, hold on to it. If it's something for, you know, to please the Lord, you know, humanity, helping people, missionary, whatever it is, you know, hold on to it, because time will always work the way God wants it to. That dream may not be now, but that dream is coming. So you just never, never let go. And so that's what I wanted to talk about. And Christian writers, we have a great responsibility to further the gospel through our writing. So we have to be held to a higher standard, because, you know, everything we write, we're really, as I often think, God is really the author of what we write. We're just the pen in his hand. And so we are honored and privileged to be that pen, and to let him write through us and say the words that he wants to say it. And then the Holy Spirit will make profit of it, you know, by whoever reads it. You never know who's going to read your work. You know, you never know. You know, sometimes, you know, like I have a ministry site too, and I have translations there where people from other countries can come in and read it. And when I started off on that site, I had 108 people that, you know, that had come by within like 3 or 4 week time. I now have almost 6,000 because I have the translation there, and I talk about the Lord. And you don't know how many people are hungry for the Lord, and they may not listen to a minister, they may not listen to a program, but they may pick up your book and read the story, and it may hit them, and they'll say, that's a lot like my life. And if God can work for them, he can do it for me. So you never know how you witness. Witness can be done in so many ways, you know, radio, TV, and through fiction, and through nonfiction. Testimonies. Now, nonfiction is another thing. Some people, they think they're the only ones that have gone through anything in this world. They're the only ones. And then they read a testimony of somebody else that it's happened to them. And then they see, I'm not alone. If God helped them, he can help me. And so nonfiction is good, too. You know, nonfiction Christian writers, you've lived it, and now you can tell it. And that telling it can reach somebody else. Like they say, go tell somebody. You can't keep it to yourself. You got to tell somebody else. And so that's what, you know, that's great about being a nonfiction writer, too, because maybe you don't like fiction, but you know stories, that things that have happened to you, or you know stories that have happened to other people, and maybe they give you the permission to tell their story in a book, or an article. You know, writing, you know, the Christian writers world is not just books. There's magazines, there's articles. You know, God can use so many different avenues. Maybe you're not a book writer, and you don't want to sit down on the typewriter and type 8 or 10 hours a day, but you can sit down and write somebody's testimony, and you can publish that, or you can write an article and publish it in a Christian magazine, and it may reach, you know, the world for all you know. So, you know, Christian writing is growing. It's growing because God is growing it. And we just have to keep going and not give up. We just have to keep going because we are an elite group. We are such an elite group. And it may seem like we're a minor group, but what does the word say? God uses little things to confound the wise. And so God can use you, and he can use me. He can use my fiction writing, because I write fiction, and I write fiction short story, and I write poetry, and he can use mine. Maybe you write articles. Maybe you write, you know, pamphlets, you know, or maybe you write tracts. Now, that's another thing. That's still writing. If you write tracts and pass them out on the street, that's still writing. You're still preaching the gospel, and you're still reaching out to people. So writing is entailed in so many different things for a Christian writer. We have so many avenues that we can go into. You can go into churches and speak to groups and talk to people. I found out, I went to one group, a senior citizen's home, and this one lady, she said she had been praying because she wanted, you know, when she heard a Christian author was coming, she said, oh, Lord, let me make it back so that I can meet the Christian lady and talk to her about my poetry. And she just made it back because, you know, it was getting late and getting ready to go, and she just made it back, and she said, oh, you're still here. And she was so happy, and she talked to me about her poem. See, you know, see, God will always open up a door for you if you put him first in your writing. Especially in your writing, if you're a Christian writer. If you put him first and dedicate your books to him and you work to him, he's going to do for you because you're honoring him. And, you know, and that's what God does. We honor him, he honors us. We bless him, he blesses us. And that's what he wants to do. And so, you know, whatever type of writing you do, like I said, if you write fiction, nonfiction, if you write pamphlets, if you write for magazines, you know, and even if you just like to sit down and write for yourself and, you know, never show it to anybody, but it makes you feel good, well, then you write for yourself. Maybe someday God will lead you to publish that. You don't know. But Christian writing is really growing. It may seem small, but, you know, we are a small elite group, though, and we are coming along. God is using us, and he's going to use Christian writers more to further the gospel in this last time with books, magazines, and articles. It's just got to, it's so wonderful if you're a writer. Just think about, you know, how God can use you, and just pray and ask him to use you as a Christian writer, because the Christian writer's world, it's growing. You know, like I said, we're a small and elite group, but we're growing all the time. So being a Christian writer is something that's really wonderful to do, and if you have that dream, then don't give up on it. You just need to keep going, keep writing. Main thing is just keep writing. Always try to write something every day. That's what something I do. I try to write something every day. It may just be a line, you know, but then you, that line, it keeps your writing juices flowing. Because if you don't write, the only way to really learn how to write is to write. And then once you learn, you know, you learn all the techniques. I mean, sit down and write, but then also check your grammar, your spelling, and everything, you know, and make sure that everything looks right. Because, you know, you want to have your book and stuff or articles or whatever you're writing, you know, people can understand it and read it clearly. So, like I said, grammar, punctuation, all that stuff is very important in writing. You know, so make sure that you, you know, that you check about the English and everything. But just keep writing. That's the main thing. Just keep writing, and God will open up doors for you. He opened up doors for me. I never thought I would ever see, ever see my books published. I've done book signings at Walden Bookstore, and I've done book signing at the library here, the Black Road Branch Library here in Joy, Illinois. I'm at the author fair 2 years in a row now, and I did Barnes & Noble's. I mean, not Barnes & Noble's. I did Walden Books 2 times. I had 2 book signings, and then I've had book signings in senior citizens, like senior suites, and Essington Place here in Joliet, and I'm eventually going to set up, once I finish this book, I'm going to start doing other, you know, looking in other avenues, you know, to do, and then I want to also see by getting, you know, talking to church people, to getting my books in front of the young people, in front of the church, you know, so the church can really see that this is a purely clean, sweet, uncomplicated book that they can put out in front of their congregation, in front of their, you know, young people, and let them, you know, really see how God can work. So that's what I just want to talk about today, tell you something about me and my dreams. And I sure hope that you have enjoyed it and that you're going to think about what you are dreaming about and not give up on it. Okay, that's the main thing. Don't give up on your dream. If you're a Christian writer, God will make a way for you where there seems to be no way, because I know he made a way for me. And he's going to prosper the Christian writers because they're gearing their work for him. And so that's the one beautiful thing about God. He honors those who honor him. Okay, well, I hope that you'll come back again. And the next time I'm going to be talking about ministering through fiction and nonfiction. I'll go a little more deeply into that. And so I hope to see you. And if you want to call in and talk to me, I'd be glad to talk to you. And so you just keep writing and don't give up. And just remember, dreams can come true. Just like the song said, you know, you just have to believe. And I believe in you. Okay. Have a good day.